Is Data a blessing or a curse? Brought to you by Adastra, this is a must-listen podcast that inspires and advises people who are serious about digitalization. Cloudera is a hybrid data platform that works in various cloud environments as well as on-prem. It offers secure data management and cloud-native data analytics. What are the experiences with clients from public sector? We are going to talk about this with my guest, Peter Rizvi, account executive at Cloudera. Peter, welcome to the studio.
Hi, Ivana. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
What are the main worries of government agencies in terms of cloud platforms?
In terms of cloud platforms, that's a very relevant and wide topic at the moment. So government agencies, when it comes to big data, they already have various set of worries and challenges that they need to figure out, even without getting to the topic of public cloud. Public cloud is a very prevalent and relevant trend across the IT industry, not only in the public sector, because it offers a wide variety of benefits to customers or IT organizations that use a cloud-only or cloud-complemented approach. One of the concerns that a government sector or a public sector agency organization would have, though, is, first of all, data sovereignty. So the ownership of their data, where they store their data. So maybe something that is unique to government as opposed to other sectors is how sensitive some of that data could be. So we're talking about a very wide variety of data types. This could be personal data. This could be administrative data. It could be healthcare data, very, very sensitive data of their citizens. It could also be infrastructure-related data. So from the energy grid, for example, energy production. These are also very sensitive data types from a national security point of view. So in terms of where the government stores and how they manage that data is a little bit more critical, I would say, from a national security perspective than if we're talking to any other sector. Thus, they don't really, at the moment, we don't see a trend of them willingly putting their data in a data center that is outside of their own control.
Of their own infrastructure.
Outside of their own infrastructure, but also outside of their own borders. I think in the Central Eastern European where we are in, this is more of a challenge. So Cloudera, we work around the world. We're a global organization. And we see that governments in places like Germany, the UK, the United States, they're a little bit more open to a public cloud approach. In fact, some of them have massive public cloud-based data projects. But that is because the hyperscalers, the cloud vendors, have data centers built inside the country itself, so that when they store the data on behalf of the government and manage that data as well, it's not leaving the borders of the country, which for data security issues, it's very important. At the moment, you know, in the region where we are right now, if I'm thinking about my customers in the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary, they are less willing to move their data to a data center that's in a different country. Even going past the idea of having somebody else manage your data, it's going to cross the borders as well. This challenge, though, from an IT vendor or from a big data vendor point of view, our challenge is to support the governments to give them some of the flexibility and the perks and the feeling of having a public cloud-like setup while still managing your own data on-premise. At the same time, though, we need to be able to prepare them so that if one day they are able to move to a public cloud-based approach because maybe they will have a hyperscaler opening a data center in the country.
And you believe they will move there?
I believe that public cloud will be experimented with very soon in most places.
Even in Czech?
As soon as somebody opens a data center in the Czech Republic, I'm sure this will be a possibility, very honestly. Maybe not all types of data. We'll probably see more of a hybrid approach with some of the customers. You know, there's many different types of government agencies. But there are lots of benefits to public cloud that will actually help the government with some of the issues that they have when it comes to their data strategy. I think one of the issues around data management in the public sector is sometimes there's a lack of flexibility in terms of the technology that they can use and onboard. If we're thinking about the latest technological trends, AI, for example, we are seeing innovation on a daily basis. A government project takes typically years to plan, to finalize, and then to also procure. Some of these challenges can easily be fixed in a public cloud-based setup where you're essentially allowing the cloud vendor to build some of the innovation underneath it. And if you need to scale up your data platform as well, it's a lot easier to do so than if you had to manage and build the architecture and the infrastructure on your own.
Do you need to provide something more extra in terms of data security and data governance for government agencies or the public sector in general?
Well, and ideally, data security and data governance would be, you know, a priority anywhere, regardless of who your customer is.
Yeah, I'm asking because, for example, the banks also store very sensitive data about the customer. So does the public sector need something more extra? Do you feel that?
I would say that every organization should have a secure data platform that is well governed and well managed. However, some of the strict regulations that are in place in government are a lot more specific and are a lot more stricter with how they manage the data than in some of the other sectors that we work in. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I wouldn't say that we should have a less secure data platform for a bank or a telco company or even a retailer just because they don't have these strict regulations that they need to apply to their data platform. So yes and no to the question.
Okay, so maybe it's much more like a special industry-based solution for the government? That maybe the platform, you know, the infrastructure or the data management or the security are aligned with their really specific needs?
I think it's one part of it is that, yes, it's also a cultural question of how internally they manage and they utilize the data as well, you know, how they govern who has access to data within the organizations. So, for example, if you have a private sector company, maybe because they're not working with healthcare-related data, more of their employees within the organization will have the same amount of access rights to the data that's on their data platform, for example. In the government, we would probably, you know, they would probably be using the same technology, the same tools, but it would probably set up, you know, for example, the access rights of who can see what on the data platform, a lot more stricter, based on whatever laws, regulations, or just internal compliance policies they have.
Yeah, so nobody can see how many I paid on tax.
Well, in theory, yes. Depends on the country you're in. You know, somewhere they can see, but yes.
I found in your recommends that 72% of government agencies do not really know where their data is stored. How is this possible?
Yes.
72%.
It's a massive challenge. There's various factors behind this. One is an issue that we see not only in the government sector, but it's also quite pertinent in larger enterprises as well, which is data silos across various organizations. So if you have a really, really large company corporate structure or a government, for example, with multiple agencies, multiple organizations, they all have their own data policies, they all have their own data management
data warehouses
or goals for or their own data warehouses, data lakes. They don't always communicate well with each other, for example. And there might not be like a centralized repository, centralized data governance strategy. But it can get even, I would say, even just within the actual agencies or the individual organizations as well. You can always have shadow IT type issues. Many times different teams themselves will want to store or manage data their own way, not necessarily within the constraints of what their larger IT organization allows them, or using different tools than they would otherwise be given, for example. So this is one of the issues there. I would say that there is also, just quite frankly, due to the type of industry we are talking about, there is a very, very wide array of data that is highly proliferating all the time. So the amount of data that a government can collect and store will continually grow at a rapid pace, you know, no matter what the use case is. And there will always be a massive challenge of being able to manage this data, but also when it comes to, you know, data tagging, data collection, understanding what the right stewardship and how to manage this data across the entire, you know, governmental organization. This is something that, you know, very, very advanced or, you know, mature companies also find challenging, much less a government whose main focus isn't necessarily IT, but, you know, providing services to their citizens.
Yeah, but it's based on IT anyway.
Well, a lot of things are, yes.
Except of 72% of agencies that do not know where the data is stored. You also say, as Cloudera, that 33% out of them say that only 33% of them say that they can fully classify their data. The rest, not.
Yes, yes. I think this is part of the problem where we say that, okay, they're collecting massive amounts of very, very diverse types of data. Can be very hard for them to classify everything that they're collecting or that they need to collect and what purpose they want to use it for as well. They also typically have a problem of using traditional infrastructure, and we see this in many governments. So very legacy IT infrastructures that doesn't necessarily allow them to be able to track, collect, and store data in a modern way, which is efficient, which is makes data searchable, collectible, taggable, for example, so that they actually know what they have.
And to your Cloudera, you are able to connect to these legacy systems and work with the data in an effective way, or do you need to, you know, make like more infrastructure changes to be able to
work? Well, this is a case-by-case approach. So we can't always rip and replace everything. For example, there are some systems there that are hosting petabytes worth of critical data that maybe it's not well documented what is even being collected, right? But what we definitely can help with and do want to help with is the management of the data. And just help them with the data governance around it. And then also give them tools, give our public sector customers tools that will allow them to gain value out of the data that they already have and are collecting. And we've done this many, many times, very regionally as well. We have some incredibly innovative customer stories with the public sector doing things that are, I would say, actually ahead of some of the projects we see in the private sector. I'll give you an example. One of our customers in Hungary, it's a government agency, and they wanted to create a data warehouse and a data lake. And then 5 years ago, they decided that, well, actually, what if we host both of these concepts in one single environment?
5 years ago?
Yes.
And so innovative thought 5 years ago?
Precisely. So they essentially created what we now call, so right now everyone's talking about a data lake house as a modern data architecture approach. Back then, this Hungarian government agency created the hybrid data lake, as they called it, really ahead of their time. You know, these days, we're trying to talk about, you know, moving our enterprise and private sector customers to a data lakehouse. We have various components supporting this approach, for example, Iceberg, an open source tool that we're very excited about. But we, as I said, we've had some government customers that have thought about this and have been working towards this goal many, many years ago.
What is the most often use case that you solve?
That's very, very hard to answer because there's there are so many.
Stay in Central Europe.
Stay in Central Europe. Okay. I would say that what we see a lot in the government sector is around finance and banking. So with central banking or national treasuries,
mm-hmm.
right? It's data collection, whether it's tax data, whether it's transactional data, whether it's data that central banks need to forward to the European Central Bank. That's a very common use case. We also work in the energy sector very typically in this region. So this is IoT, smart metering type data, especially around power distribution and energy distribution. So creating IoT use cases, powering the grid itself. This is extremely important these days. You know, we've had an energy crisis not that long ago. Being efficient and having a sovereign energy policy in Central Eastern Europe is extremely important given the geopolitical situation that we're in. And now that I mentioned geopolitical situation that we're in, obviously there is also a defense and security sector that is very, very data-driven. At least they aspire to be data-driven. This is a sector where we're doing a lot of work as well.
If you are saying they aspire to be data-driven, how long do you think it will take to be data-driven?
There is no good answer to this. There is always room for improvement, right? Everyone is always in the midst of a transformation. So in the private sector, we are trying to talk to all of our customers about moving to a data mesh approach. Data mesh is like the end goal of or the philosophy for a lot of our customers and a lot of companies. But it's probably going to be an ongoing transformation that may never end. I think being completely data-driven is one of those things as well. As soon as you implement and start using the first use cases and they see how successful they are, they're just going to keep finding more and more things that they can do.
Yeah, you will discover more and more use cases
precisely,
you can leverage.
Precisely.
So never-ending story.
It is.
Can you compare very high-level the approach in different countries to digitalization, to cloud usage, to being data-driven?
Somewhat, I guess. So we already mentioned the fact that countries where there's already some native cloud data center, they are more prone to being open to using a public cloud approach, and this includes the government as well. Beyond that, we do see a lot of innovation coming out of this region, Central Eastern Europe, out of open source technologies especially. So there really is this open source culture here of young, highly skilled professionals who have, in many cases, you know, self-taught themselves on how to use advanced AI tools or advanced big data tools due to them being available for free via the open source community. And they have introduced a lot of these concepts within the IT organizations that they're working in, not only in the private sector, but also in the public sector as well. So a trend I would say that is more prevalent over here is actually a use of open source tools and companies trying to figure out how to build their own data platform. Cloudera's role is helping them package or build what they already have started in a supported and enterprise-ready fashion so that they really can get the best value out of the tools that they've already started utilizing from the open source community. Many of those tools, by the way, are supported by and are built by Cloudera.
As you were talking about the Hungarian agency building data lake 5 years ago, do you have any other interesting stories like that, just to inspire the Czech government agencies?
Yes, well, there's
further.
There's many stories. Obviously, there's governments and this sector likes some sense of privacy, right? There's only so much we can share. We can say that, I would say, regionally, one of the largest or most innovative big data projects actually in Czechia at the moment is actually related to the energy sector, as I mentioned, where they're really planning on collecting and utilizing vast amounts of smart meter data to optimize energy distribution and transmission across the entire country, essentially. This could save lots of money. It's going to be great for the environment as well. And it will offer, obviously, their end customers a better customer service, better pricing models, better offers, etc. And what really impressed me is the innovative thinking behind some of the use cases that they have planned for this. And as well as the scale that they're planning on investing just into these use cases as well to make sure that their operation, even though it's very industrial, you know, it's energy sector, they're not an IT company, but how data-driven it was.
Okay, we have only 3 large energy suppliers in Czech Republic, I guess.
So maybe.
I know. And they are viewed as kind of old school companies. So it's quite surprising that your perspective is such, your perspective is that they are such an innovative company.
They are definitely not old school, based on what my experience with them.
Can you have this type of stories from different countries to bring some inspiration to Czech Republic? Maybe what you do in the US?
Of course. So one thing that I can mention, for example, by name is in the United Kingdom, we are working with the West Midlands Police Force, for example. So they are using many, many different use cases. Initially, it was all around response time. So how quickly can a police officer or the police organization pick up a phone call from a distress call? How fast can they get there? And then just collect data real time from police men and women on the ground when responding to to crime, for example, or these calls. It's hard to get actual quantitative statistics on, you know, what the real value was in, I don't know, crime reduction or increase in response time. However, we do know that these type of use cases, they save lives, essentially.
So maybe the goal is to just answer quicker, to be more flexible, to be more precise.
Yes.
And if we go maybe to the US or America continent, because, you know, these technologies are in front of us for maybe by 2 years, I guess. So where we can find the inspiration.
So I wouldn't say we're living in a globalized world. I wouldn't say that they're 2 years or many years ahead of us in technology. I would say that the infrastructure that they have might be better in certain cases. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that they're any more innovative. But when we're talking about innovation in the public sector, I think one very interesting story is that there is a Cloudera has a tool called Data Flow. It's all about collecting data, moving data from one place to the other. It's real-time streaming any type of data. So universal data moving from anywhere to any goal repository, any target repository. This is a tool called NiFi, which was actually developed by the United States government, more specifically the NSA, so the National Security Administration, I believe 7 or 8 years ago at this point. They created this for various use cases, you know, okay, what type of data the United States government is trying to stream real time.
Nobody knows,
nobody wants to know, right? But they decided that, okay, we have this tool, let's give it to the open source community. The open source community can then also contribute to its development and drive innovation and everyone can benefit from it, not just the United States government, but also the wider IT industry. So that is the, you know, the origin story of one of the most popular data streaming, data movement tools worldwide at the moment. It's extremely popular in many industries, in many use cases among most of our customers. And this came out of innovation in the public sector.
Okay, if we come to, for example, smart cities, how can public sector contribute with the data to smart cities?
Smart cities, we tend to use it sometimes as this term is one use case in and of itself, but really it's a collection of many. You know, we've already mentioned a few of them. For example, you know, energy, that's a very important aspect of smart cities is can we efficiently generate, then distribute, you know, clean energy optimally? But it's also tied into e-citizenship, for example. How data-driven can we be when it comes to such civic processes such as voting, healthcare, for example, even public transport? There's many, many, many different things that tie into this. So it's I wouldn't say it's just one. I would say that's more a cultural shift. You know, how can everything that a government administration or various parts of that administration do to use data to be more efficient in the services that they provide their citizens? And so there are various of these initiatives and efforts around the world. We work together, for example, with Dubai on their smart city project. A lot of that is, as I said, tied into the energy grid, the energy distribution system there, but also, you know, e-citizenship, you know, collecting citizen data, demographic data, people moving in and out of a city or out of neighborhood, etc.
Are you able to build these use cases or project without cloud?
Anything is possible. Cloud can help in many aspects. So as I said, cloud can offer a certain amount of flexibility in terms of, you know, scaling up certain workloads, or if you have a very sudden amount of data that you need to do something with, instead of building your own architecture and your own infrastructure to keep up with the demand, it's very easy to just trust a cloud provider to take care of this for you, right? As I said, in many cases, cloud providers and companies that have cloud-based tools can offer innovation a little bit more quicker than if you would need to install them and build the applications for yourself on-premise. But that being said, I think we are reaching a point where a lot of, you know, private cloud tools are getting very close to being able to replicate or achieve everything that is possible in the public cloud. It really is all a question, I think, of scale, skills, and what is the end use case for the customer.
This was Peter Rizvi, account executive at Cloudera. Thank you for coming and sharing your insight with us.
Thank you very much.
And Eva Karhanová is signing off.